Cooking Smart Podcast, Season 2, Episode 1, the start of the new season. I don't even really know why we changed seasons. I guess because we took a break, and now it just seems like time for the next season. And it's Season 2 of The Whip. I don't know. We just make up our own rules as we go along with some of these things. So, but my, how the dialogue has changed, right? I was just thinking about this while we were on break and how, like, you know, when we started doing this podcast together, it was really just like a, you know, taking a series of like punches to the gut every single week, showing up for this thing and talking about, like, you know, falling flat on our faces with these events. And, you know, now this is a good time for season two, because I do feel like the dialogue has changed and we're in the midst of many events, you know, strung together that have been pretty seamless. We got sponsors. Easy's hosting a listening party for the podcast tonight. We got people coming out of the woodwork, you know, wanting to contribute and work with us just to continue to see our vision through multi-metaverse field trips. It feels like we're rocking, and we haven't even met since the whale shark whip a few weeks ago, and then had a successful one this past week, in spite of the fact that we got sort of throttled by the minting situation going on over at CryptoVoxels, which I guess is still unresolved. But no matter what, I feel like we've been thrown down lately. So back with my dudes, Matthew and Trislet, and looking forward to diving into it. What, how have you guys been? How's the time off? And yeah, welcome back, y'all.
Hey, man. Yeah, it's been good for me. It hasn't. It's funny, even though we didn't do the whip last, you know, the week before, it was still crypto land, NFT land didn't really slow down at all. It never does, right?
No, man, I feel like I was gone for 8 days, and yeah, crypto time moves fast. I feel like I was gone for 8 years. What about you, Matthew? How you been, man?
It was awesome. Had a much-needed trip to the Alps of Korea and to the coast. It was brilliant. And also was able to do a lot of like work on some of the long-term strategy with the whip, inking a couple deals with sponsored hosts down the line. We have Maker's Place there. I know you're doing some BD work too. In discussions with Axie and Async to sponsor some events. And then we have our speaker list basically booked until the middle of August. So things are shaping up really nicely on that front. And it was awesome to get things kicked off with a good start for season two last week. And then I've just been doing like a lot of analysis too. I was breaking down our cohorts for each week. They kind of
drop the numbers, man.
Yeah. So in terms of our retention, like I was doing some triangular retention analysis, and our average retention for all the cohorts. So basically everyone that comes every week, they sign a guest book, using that information against every subsequent week in terms of what percentage of those addresses are coming back. We're averaging around 60% for retention, which is like insanely good. And it's only getting better. And some of the experiments we've been running, like with the sponsored hosts with a lot of money and Whale Shark, those are just like crack basically for those numbers. We're bringing everyone back to come to those affairs. So we found some secret sauce in here, and it just seems like we need to kind of pour gas on this fire as we head forward to get those numbers bigger, make the events even stronger, and bring new people into the fold. So exciting there. Plus, like the actual visits that we're driving to these builds is insane. With Whale Shark, we drove around 1,500 visits to his parcel in the Scarlet Factory. Last week, we drove about 1,000 to the amphitheater at Token Smart. So, like, we have something super powerful, super valuable to everyone involved, and it was just insane to dive into those numbers over the break.
You had thrown another number out there that was like 20% new people coming in each week too, right? Or something along those lines.
Yeah. That was when I just started with the retention analysis. It was nice to see every week bringing in like around 20% of the people that are coming in are brand new week on week. So that's really, really great to see.
You know, it's awesome. Some of those, it's funny because when you're doing, I think, yeah, we've had some conversations around this in the past. Like my background, I do more development stuff. And so it's like most of my time is spent just building you know, just keep building, And you know, it's like, wow, this is cool. But then it's like, that's all right. It's yesterday. It's already done. So just keep building and stuff. But when you start taking a step back, you start looking at those numbers, mm-hmm. it starts making you realize, I'm like, okay, it looks like we're going in the right direction. And that sort of analysis helps too. Cause if we see a dip in those, we can look back yep. and see what did we change this week? Cause obviously it's not working. So I think exactly. that's going to help us keep that track going.
Exactly. Like there's one week where I think it was about 4 weeks back now, where the numbers for people signing up was just like super low. And we had just totally, thinking back, we had not pushed people to sign up for the guest book. Like we didn't drop it in the Discord afterwards, like just drop the ball there. And it's just like simple things like that lead to like decreases or likewise, like I mentioned, like specific events that we start planning out and implementing, like week on week, we can compare, okay, like what was the direct impact of this event on the numbers to see what works, what doesn't, and then continually adding or repeating what works and then eliminating what doesn't. So this sort of analysis is super fascinating. I love to get into it. I'm glad that we had a nice body of numbers to work with and the time to actually dive into it with our off week.
It's crazy, man. And it is nice to be able to like throw some numbers out there because I feel like that is what's sticky to a lot of people. It's hard to sort of quantify what's going on otherwise. But this past week, I personally was in conversations with like a couple of random people on Twitter on the side and everything. And I know it was their first WIP that they had attended. And I got to say, man, it was like so gratifying to hear that they popped in. They had never been to one before. The audio was working. They saw what was going on. It was easy for them to like, you know, grasp the concept of what we were doing. And, you know, it wasn't too long ago when someone would pop in, you'd be like, okay, well, if nothing's working, you have to click this. Did you see this? And really like handhold people through this. And it was like two or three people, very, very seamless, gave them the link. They popped in. They're like, wow, this is really cool. I caught part of, you know, Coldy's presentation. Sounds like an awesome thing. And that's just what you want moving forward, right? And, I don't know about you guys, but I don't know. I'm prone to, like, becoming a diva like with these things anyway because now, you know, after – being at multiple seamless events of our own, you know, I try to pop into like other community stuff going on, no matter what it is, right? As I know you guys too, right? Just to like show your face and like show support and everything, because a lot of people are doing like a lot of cool things out there and we're all like sort of in this together, you know, trying to push this space forward. So trying to lend support, but then you show up to these events where they haven't like, you know, gone the extra mile that we do. And I'm just like, you guys shouldn't have just cheaped out. You guys should have just hired us to crush this thing for you. And, you know, I was also thinking about Syncus's shirt release, which unfortunately got derailed due to the minting problems and postponed. But I have almost no doubt he's going to sell his shit out, especially maybe now with like the extra week or two of yeah. hype for it being postponed and everything. But the crowds that we're driving, which prior to you crunching these numbers and pulling some of this data, were just sort of something we were just throwing out there and talking about them. But these are like very tangible results. And the other sponsored whip we have coming up in August is going to be an art drop that is a very cool, like, you know, famous artist from the UK. He's an urban artist. And Mark Render he's saying he wants to, I don't want to put a price point on them in case he changes his mind, but it's a very affordable price point. And I'm like, dude, if the goal is to make money, you should raise this price. Cause otherwise, based on our history, I have no doubt that we're going to sell out 30 editions or something like that. It's going to go like wildfire at an affordable price. I mean, you might just have one person who shows up and buys all 30 if you're not real careful with the price. So, you know, not trying to get too far ahead of ourselves and talk too much smack, but it's nice to continue to build our resume and, you know, add some numbers to our track record while we're, you know, showing ourselves off to other people and other sponsors.
Yeah. You know, it's, I try not to talk down about anybody else, you know, whenever I can help it. Cause I don't think it helps for me at least. And it makes me feel bad too, but it's funny with the wearables thing, because it's one of those. So my actual role in Crypto Voxels is minting wearables. I verify the queue. I do all this. You know, I own the contract you know, it was transferred over to me. So I have to manually go in and mint these things. But the side thing is that I didn't develop the tools. Ben did on CryptoVoxel. So okay, I've had before in the past where, okay, a bug pops up. All right, well, let's take a look at it. But Ben's now, you know, he's built a whole virtual world and he's pushing out things and there's tons of bugs. You know, he's got a small team. So it's like he can't always focus on it. So now for me, it gets frustrating. So I'm like, oh, no, my hands are tied. You know, and I try to keep things smooth. But if it takes a while, like in this case, you know, I'm not totally sure where the bug is because I don't even have access to some of the tools to see where it is. So, I mean, part of this, I want to get the current stuff working with Ben, but then it's also, you know, emphasized, like I've started trying to work on some side ones, potentially going, you know, setting up a new contract that maybe I have complete control of, you know, with some different tools that I can work with him to. But then at that point, if there's an issue, at least I can say, okay, it's broken, but I'm looking at it right now. There's three or four people that need to lay hands on it to get things fixed, which is funny. Mm-hmm. As you scale up, that becomes a lot more hard of an issue, right? When it was only 50 people mm-hmm. in the CV, who cares? So it's so interesting. Now we're starting to hit walls with things like we have control about a lot of things. And then as we expand our team, we get more people who are, you know, Dragonate, we got some of the other guys, you know, who are able to handle some of the audio stuff, some of the YouTube management stuff. You know, it's like we've done that because we hit a wall. So it's like, man, shit, I guess we need to bring this stuff in house, right? Because we can't always rely on the third party to deliver it.
I have a question. So obviously right now the problem with minting the wearables, it lies in the system that has been developed between you, Ben, and like whoever else is involved, and somewhere in that process, like a big wrench has been thrown into the affairs, right? So you can't, it's just like impossible to mint now. Once that's resolved and we mint like whatever number of wearables has been like requested to be minted, we get through that queue. If you had full control over the future of wearables and CryptoVoxels, like how would you structure things? Like what would the optimal solution be?
You know, it's funny because there's different ways to look at it. Like the reason wearables are as they are right now, which is that ERC-1155 that allows you to have one base model with, you know, 1,000 copies of that base. You know, that's that's why when we talk about NFTs and stuff, like, you know, certain collectors, they don't like that for like art and unique assets because it's you know, when you trade a token, you're not trading a token in that, in a way, you know, that's not how a lot of people see it. They see it as like, okay, I'm just a number of this 1,000, right? Whereas the ERC-721, the cool thing about it is each token is its own sort of self-contained entity. So when you transfer it to somebody else, like it's out of the developer's control and all that, you know, so it's interesting. It's technical why it's important, but like trying to simplify it makes more sense for a lot of collectors. So I really feel like it'd be cool to have a system where we could decide, you know, it's like, cause sometimes the 1155 is a good idea. Like, okay, I want 1,000 hats and I want them all to have a whip logo on them. Right. I don't want to charge money for it. I just want everybody to wear a hat to my event. Like in that case, I don't want to spend all kinds of money, have separate things. Right. But maybe, yeah, No Shot wants to make his custom shoes. And there's going to be a 1 of 5. And once these 5 are done, I want, you know, the things to get closed and never be possible to make again, right? I feel like maybe using the 721 scheme could maybe be better in that case, you know? So I think we need to expand it and make those. The people who care about that care a lot about it. People who don't care about it don't even know what we're talking about, right? So I feel like that's the sort of stuff that I would like to expand on and have. It doesn't mean you have to do it, but it's like I'd like to have the, you know, the potential to be able to do it. You know, so if I get the request from, you know, Josie's reached out to me a couple of times, she'll have one-offs or special things she wants to make, like that mask that came with that one drop, you know, the one that I'm wearing in World because I bought her piece. Like, that's a really damn cool piece. I'm like, man, I wish I had a better way to make this more like solidly exclusive and there's no chance whatsoever for anybody else to do anything with it. Like that would be slick.
What do you think the over under is that things are resolved in time for the whip on Thursday? Get Cinkos' stuff out there. You think it's like we better create a plan B now, or is it impossible to tell? I really have no idea what's going on in the back end.
That one is hard to tell because it's like I need to have a follow up conversation with Ben and get again. I talked to him personally, you know, like all of them moderate our modulator group. That's what he named the thing in CryptoVoxels for the moderators, which you know, me, Jin, Spidey Monkey, and Devil, you know, because we all try to help and direct public stuff and make sure we keep things running as smooth as we can. So like it's really I remember a couple months ago we used to have like a weekly call. We'd all check in, we try to tell each other like where our pain points are and try to get input from the other guys, what's important, and try to set a priority list for Ben, you know. So it's but that's he's gotten so busy, you know, with the expanding world that's sort of fallen by the wayside. So maybe we need to get back into that, you know, pattern. So I don't know. It's, I guess the clean answer is I have no clue, dude. I hope we can get it fixed, you know, soon, but no, it's growing pains, you know, and it's crazy how fast the things grow. And then it becomes like, oh shit, this was like a tiny issue before, but now it's become like world breaking, horrible. Right.
I mean, yes and no, man. I mean, I feel like this is, if it's not this, it's always been something else. And that's what I feel like is great about where we're at now. It's just like last week, man, that this wasn't anticipated, came up with something new on the fly. And it was cool, man. The trip over to Decentraland was fun. It played right into the conversations that we had been having with DCL Blogger about getting everybody over there, and you know, saw him tweeting out some action about it as well. And I don't spend hardly any time in there, so it was cool for me to see like a bunch of people in the build and get like sort of the lay of the land in terms of how to do some of the basic controls and the, you know, slight differences from CryptoVoxels. And you know, I'm sure we'll figure, we got plenty of lead time going into Thursday. If we know something's like up in the air, you know, I feel like if we could pivot in that short amount of time, I'm sure we can between now and then. And Matthew and I were talking, and we've really got to start thinking of some ways to utilize all these builds that we have now and, you know, maybe filling them with some of our either podcast recordings or listening parties or something like that. Maybe either like hosting the whip natively in some of those spaces or having some concurrent things going on there. I know we've like kicked a lot of ideas around, and I don't know how many of them we really, really want to take public or behind the scenes conversations, but the, you know, there's been conversations about either franchising this out or like multiple time zone whips going on. And so there are a lot of possibilities and a lot of demand. And, you know, the worst thing that happens is that the minting doesn't work and we got to figure out something with that. I mean, it sucks for Cinkos and I feel bad for him, but at the same time, like I was saying, sooner or later, these t-shirts are going to come out and they're going to sell out and we'll get people there. So I'm not like sweating it like that. But what I don't know. I'm someone who almost becomes like overwhelmed with options when I have them. I almost work better when I'm like confined to certain limitations. So what are your guys' thoughts in terms of like how to best utilize these builds that we have, or do we just sort of do some sort of rotation, or, you know, what do you think?
You know, I kind of like the rotation idea. I mean, I think we talked about this, you know, weeks ago. I'm trying to remember when, but because that the Twitch stream seems to be working really well and the people who have jumped into that seem to like it. I mean, it's not quite as fun as being there in person, obviously, but it's like our camera set up and it seems to be working out all right. It'd be really interesting to see what would happen if we like sat, it doesn't matter what platform we're in, if we're able to stream what's happening in whatever platform we're actually hosting into the other platform somehow, then you could have viewing parties, you know, real time. And then the Twitch side of stuff, it's cool. I was talking to somebody about this because we all use Discord a lot and things like that. And it's funny because Discord was made for gamers and the type of technology a gamer wants versus a business person. Gamers want no lag. They need it fast. They need high quality video, high quality audio. You know, it's like, whereas business guys are they're a little more lax. They're like, well, if it blinks out a couple times, I still got the general idea. I'm like, gamers they won't stand for that, which is why I feel like Discord and Twitch are some of the best streaming, you know, audio platforms because they're designed around that need. So it's the platforms that support Twitch, like CryptoVoxel supports Twitch natively. Like it, if we were doing something in Hubs, I mean, I could just set up a camera in Hubs and then you could sit in the Token Smart auditorium and watch it on the screen in there, you know. It's, we could do the same thing at DCL. I think we can do the same thing in Somnium Space. I was in one with Artur. He had done it the other day. He actually had a live Skype call in Somnium Space. You know, so it's like there's nothing stopping us from potentially having a viewing area in every single platform.
Yeah, I mean, having the viewing areas in the different platforms, I think that's, especially with the announcement that Somnium Space had last week, where they're allowing all their users to have like full unencumbered access to all the different VR worlds within Somnium Space, like having every, like a viewer port. Yeah, I know. In every VR world seems like a logical next step. For the builds that we actually have, like in Decentraland and in Hubs, I definitely feel like a rotation's very helpful, because any, like the more reps we can give our with audience to go from CV to DCL to Hubs and back, like the more powerful it becomes. People become more familiar with the different worlds. They themselves begin to intuitively understand, like, oh, we're going to Hubs this time, better pop on like the Oculus, or we're going to DCL, better put my notebook in like a ice water bath to, so it doesn't like overheat or something like that. But I mean, that was a joke, but like DCL last week was butter. I know Easy, who has a rig that struggles from time to time, he was saying how smooth it was on his end, and it was buttery smooth for me. And our build, it was great. And there's definitely progress that's being made over there. And each place, like I said, like has its own strengths, has its own pros, and does things different. So the more that we can structure events taking advantage of those differences and strengths, it's great for us, great for the audience, keeps things fresh, and it furthers that education for everyone that hits up the whips. Plus, it looks awesome. It sounds badass to say we're taking another metaverse field trip.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because the underlying purpose, I feel like, of the, you know, the whip and what we're trying to do is to make sure that we have the technical skills and expertise to run these events. So the better we get at jumping world to world without hiccups, the more well off like we are going to be, and in turn our audience is going to be in the long run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
Totally. Well, I got an interesting question for you guys, and I was talking with Jim earlier about this, and now that the DCL build is complete, this is actually the first time in a little while now that we don't have an active build in progress. Not that we necessarily need one, but he had just sort of kicked the question my way. If we were to embark on another build at some point, where would that be? What would that be? You know, essentially, like, what would be most advantageous to us in the direction that all this is headed? And maybe this is good one for the people who are listening to this podcast with Easy to kick around as well, because we didn't really come up with any like firm ideas. It was more just like, you know, kick this around in your spare time or like think about it. And so kicking that your guys' way as well, like given the choice to do, or the option to do anything or whatever, or build in any platform or create a separate building. And this is me being overwhelmed with options again. I'm like a deer in headlights.
Well, you know, our primary audience has been, I feel like, crypto related people. I mean, maybe we should start looking at what it would take to get stuff in some of the VR only ones, you know. And then again, a similar one, if we say we were in VR chat and then we had a way to stream what's happening in CryptoVoxels into VR chat, now we're exposing an entirely new audience to something they'd never seen before, right? Now maybe the following week they might pick up some new subscribers that would never have gotten, you know, the knowledge that something was going to happen. I mean, there's a lot of other platforms and other startups that are trying to do, like Neos, I hear a lot about. You know, I haven't done much there, but I mean, maybe we should look at, you know, at least trying to branch out a little bit in that side, because there's a whole untapped community there that needs to be brought in too. We've had some conversations with Jin before, because he's the one who tries to come into Discord and tell everybody about it. But he is right that there's a lot of developers who are ridiculously talented, and I'm like, you guys, why aren't you coming over here too? Like the two technologies are so intertwined, and most people don't even seem to realize how well they mesh, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely feel that. And I think that, like, with our conversation with Jin, he was talking about how, like, VR chat has just, like, a pretty significant lock on developer mind share, and then has, like, a pretty strong user base and, like, partners and things like that. I don't have a headset, and I tried to download the Unity, I don't know what to call it, Unity whatever, and it just didn't work, so I couldn't, like, experience what was going on over in VR chat before. So it's hard for me to actually say, like, that would be the next step, but bringing over some of that community into what we're doing and vice versa would definitely be, like, a great decision. Me personally, I would just like a refresh for, like, the current builds that we are using in CV. It's great that we have places that we can go, like, on the off weeks when we don't have a sponsored host and things like that. But part of me really likes to see, like, something new, because there's just so many different, like, types of builds and possibilities with builds in CV, that it would be cool to have a refresh for some of the builds.
Well, I feel like that's a great way to push back, you know, like, hey, we want these features. You know, when we're talking about trying to get Ben and the CV dev team on board, like, it'd be cool to say, hey, we've got, apparently we drove 1,000 users to this parcel, and half those people are asking for this. Right? Now we're using your metrics to actually help drive the platform in the direction that users want to see.
Totally, man. This is the advantage that the, having some sort of way to quantify these numbers gives us, because I feel like the more we take our show on the road and become not platform dependent, or yeah, not platform dependent, almost the more in demand we are, because, you know, I know I've said this before, but I mean, how many events are driving that kind of traffic into any of these platforms, you know, for that matter at this point? And even if there are, I have a feeling that they're few and far between, and, you know, being able to do it on a consistent basis, pretty much wherever we want, like, gives us a lot of power that we're wielding, and we just got to figure out how to maximize it properly. But it's so cool, man. I don't know, the VR chat, to me, I'm like, the three places we have builds now are very easy to get into. And so the ease of access is certainly, like, a thing. Who knows what the deal is going to be with Sandbox when it comes out. But I know Somnium Space, you need a client. And word is Decentraland might be moving to a client, or that's, like, a conversation that's going on over there. And I don't know, man. I was skeptical about hubs and even DCL in terms of, like, people willing to make the leap. But it seems like our core audience is pretty much willing to roll with whatever. I mean, but I guess I'm saying all that to say the VR chat seems like the most barrier, the biggest barrier to entry in terms of needing, like, equipment, technical chops, and patience to just tinker around with shit that doesn't always work as intended. Do you, and maybe the answer is we dive head first into the most difficult one and educate our audience that way. I mean, that's certainly, like, another angle. I don't know. I guess the ease of access has, I felt like, has played into our favor, but maybe I'm misreading it. What do you think?
I think you're right on that. I mean, it is, that's why I was, you know, I don't necessarily think VR chat is the best route to go, but I do think it's a great path to go to getting more people out of it. You know, it's like, cause a lot of people that I've dealt with in VR chat, you know, love VR chat, and that's the only thing they're ever going to look at, you know, unless they're, it's either forced on them, you know, or they see something else. Cause it's funny. Cause once we talk in crypto about, you know, a lot of people, they always have the hodler mentality, or they're trying to make, you know, some of it is, it's based around money since it started around, you know, monetary use. So it's, so there's a big push for, you know, it's like, well, how am I going to get paid? And it's funny. Cause when you get out of that world, and like VR chat is filled with developers, but every one of them, they're like, I just do this cause it's fun. You know, I'm like, I don't care about making money. And I'm like, well, maybe, you know, you don't need to make, you don't need to become a millionaire, but it'd be nice if you got, you know, 10 bucks for this month long build you did, right? It's like, maybe we should look at that, right? Or so I don't know. I feel like, you know, it's like that's sort of that group, unless it's pushed on them, they'll never budge. So they'll never come to a whip because they're just not interested until they see something happening in the platform they like, and then say, okay, now you've had a taste of it. Next week it's happening in Crypto Voxels. Right? That's the push that some of that community might need. I don't know. I feel like it might be worth an experiment. I don't know if it would, if I'd actually want to put the resources into building something quite as elegant as what we've done in crypto voxels though.
Yeah, that almost seems like it would require sort of like setting up a VR chat specific and building from scratch a VR chat specific whip. I mean, that there's definitely a lot of know-how that I think we would need to accrue. Like, for example, doing something with over in DCL or doing something in a different time zone with another party or co-creating that other time zone specific whip that we could then take those learnings from, like what worked, what didn't, what transfers from, for example, what we've learned mainly from CryptoVoxels to a different world, if that's where it kind of plants its roots and takes off. And then how can we take those learnings and go to like a totally different space like VR chat? Like what are the stakeholders over there that we would need to meet with to feel comfortable to kind of like launch something over there? Because like you said, Trisla, I don't see people that are basically living over there hopping over to CV unless they experience something over there and they kind of like get the ethos of what we're trying to do with this like intra metaverse like show that is transferable and like just like setting up all these things. So yeah, I don't know if that made any sense, but
I think it does. Like, I
mean, things we need to do in the lead up to that.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, I keep mentioning Jin just because he likes to talk about it a lot. But I mean, I've had other conversations. Like he brings up Boombox Head. He talks about the same thing, you know, where they're in the WebXR project, you know, where they're trying to have overlays to make, you can bring assets from one of the, like, there's these thoughts all over the place and people are like, man, I want to see a metaverse and stuff. And I'm like, but then, you know, a lot of the people, they get so involved with their own platform that they, you know, it's sort of, it gets lost and they're like, well, yeah, just come over to VR chat. We got a metaverse. I'm like, no, you don't. That's not what a metaverse is. You know, I'm like, the whole point is that you should be willing to jump out of your comfort zone to experience this new thing over here. So I don't know. It's like, if it takes us driving it home, coming to them, like holding them by the hand and pulling them with us, you know, I don't know if that's the path forward to make it happen.
There's certainly overlap within the communities. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And I, mm-hmm. I do feel like our community would be interested in what they have going on and vice versa. Yeah. It's just how to most effectively bridge that gap. But shit, I mean, how fun is this, right? And this is what I was saying at the top of the episode. I'm like, man, when we started this, I feel like we were like week 4. The same audio problems have occurred. CryptoVoxels crashed again. We don't really know what to do. It's like, now what? And, you know, now we're like, you know, talking about where to expand within the metaverse and how to best, you know, pull adjacent crowds into our thing and, you know, having a really solid event to work from. I don't know, man. I'll be interested to hear like what other people's ideas are because I like the idea of, and we all know like the three of us are stretched pretty thin. So I don't know if, and well, I probably do know. I don't think the answer is us creating new events in these buildings, but maybe in our builds, but maybe the answer is like, you know, sort of subleasing them or like, you know, loaning them out to adjacent projects or projects that support ours. Or if we get, you know, a whip on the other coast, you know, using one of these buildings for those things. But having some like concurrent projects that feed into all of ours also seems like a slam dunk if there are people who want to get involved in that. And I don't know, man, it's getting fun. I almost can't keep up with the like influx of like people who like now have questions or tinkering around with like, you know, if I wanted a sponsored event, what does that cost versus like having like, you know, a sponsored shout out versus just getting on and talking myself. You know, these are questions that weren't, you know, coming at us before.
What our events are doing, like I've seen a lot of people who, you know, aren't technical. It's interesting because it's getting them interested. And it's one of those, like, we've talked about, you know, what's the catalyst? You know, it's like, is it better hardware? Is it better software? Is it better games? Whatever. I'm like, we've always known social media is what's going to get the freaking world in, right? I'm like, but it's not, like, I sometimes, yeah, as you said, we've got a core group, and now it's to the point where every time I get in, like, I know half the crowd. You know, I feel like I know them pretty personally. I've had enough conversations and talked to enough of them that I'm like, you get in and you're like, holy shit, I'm back with my friends, right?
The family, like, man. Yeah, it's the Whip fam.
Yep. Right. And that's something you don't need to be into crypto or VR or anything to get that, right? So
there definitely is that feeling. And I don't know, man. That's what's really hard to quantify, like beyond numbers and everything. We just got like a lot of people who are genuinely down to do whatever. And I don't know, man, I've been a part of like a lot of different communities and a lot of different like places and everything, but I haven't really seen like such a passionate fan base that is really just genuinely interested, down to help out, down for whatever, and wants to see what's next. And it just sort of feels like we're all on this same boat going into uncharted waters together, which is such a fun experience, man. The week without the Whip went by so quickly, and it was so strange, man. I feel like my entire life has become centered around these events, and I have like zero regrets about it. It's so fun.
Yeah, it's definitely the highlight of my week, and I'm like so excited as the week builds toward the Whip, and like it's my like late evening into early morning on Friday when the Whip occurs, and it's just like the hours that lead up to it, I'm like amped. And then as soon as the Whip finishes and like all the good conversations are had, like it went off and we surmounted any of the obstacles that like sprung up last minute or whatever, it's such a freaking rush, and it feels so cool. And it's just like it's that ability to meet up with the Whip fan and old friends, see new friends come in wearing crazy ass wearables, and just like the whole experience of like breaking the equivalent of virtual bread with one another. It's really soul nourishing, and just like the coordination and getting all that in hand, it's just like that's like a whole separate rush on top of it. So it's so fun. And watching it grow and getting into these conversations of how we could expand into like the Asia Pacific time zone for a Whip, so that folks over in my neck of the woods could experience it at a more convenient time. Like to have more people experience what we're experiencing week in, week out. Like that's how like revolutions spread, right? Like people understand why people are thinking a certain way, because they experience it. They get what people are talking about and proselytizing, right? So, I mean, I'm just so excited to watch this thing unfold in the coming weeks as season 2, which has been so like arbitrarily established, continues to unfold.
Right.
No, I love the season idea too. We should count, how many did we have in season 1? Because maybe that's when we hit that number, that's the end of season 2, right?
Whenever we collapse from exhaustion next, then we just like take a break and come back to season 3. So we should get at least like, you know, 18, 19 episodes in, and then we'll be good.
Well, since we started collecting the guest book, we had 12 weeks in there, if that's okay. Like a reference point. So
we'll check that
we
out.
Can probably, huh?
Yeah. So about a 3 month cycle. Not too bad, right?
Yeah.
Check that out. We'll do quarterly.
Some of our things are very like methodically calculated and put into place, and other things we're just like, yeah, fuck it, season 2, sure.
Yeah.
No, legit missed everybody while I was gone, man. The Whip fam, you guys, and everything. It's great to take a step back. Great to be back, and happy to be back up and rolling again with y'all. So shout out you guys, shout out Whip Crew as always, shout out Easy holding down the listening party, and looking forward to this week, man. Anything else we got to hit?
Which I'll hit people with the taste of speakers.
Yeah, do it.
So we have a nice list. We have Bradley from Tribe Roll, who's going to be popping by, talking about everything going over at the Social Currency Powerhouse. Sean Lee from Fortmatic, which rebranded to Magic, will be coming and talking about the slickest onboarding solution for crypto, I think, to date, and what they're doing to onboard the rest of the world onto the dApps that we're already using today. John coming to talk about his NFT-based wildlife conservation-focused card game, Wild Cards. And then Kesania, who's the founder over at the DeFi-based project, SaveDie. She'll be coming through, talk about her project. And of course, fingers crossed, Sinkas will be having his exclusive wearable shirt drop that I cannot wait for. But this week should be really excited.
Awesome. Sweet. Are we going to hear anything about, oh, great, who was the big one on Twitter for the try roll? Is it Ja Rule? Who was
that? Ja, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe Ja will make an appearance. That'd be crazy.
Get on the whip, Ja.
Yeah.
We're waiting over for here. You. Yeah. All right, Ja.
Set Twitter handle.
That's right. That's right. Hunt, we're going to get Ja.
Yes.
All right, y'all. Good to catch up with you. And we will be back at it again next week.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
All right. Later, boys. Later, boys.
Okay, y'all.